Charity Mergers and Trustees, A Summer of Love and Despair. Having spent a summer dealing with charity mergers, law firm mergers, joint ventures between profits and not-for-profits, in fact a summer spent bringing total strangers together with a view to a better future, we at Firm Beliefs cannot but ponder, amongst other things, on the role that charity trustees play in this brave new world. That role varies tremendously, that's the problem. So do attitudes, also the problem. We are finding that there are rarely cases where both or more sets of trustees clearly understand their own role and attitudes, let alone the other's role, and the process as a whole is often delayed by a lack of clarity around the role and the attitudes of one or more of the trustee boards in the merger. Regardless of charity sector, dogs, carers, international aid, regardless of size, small charity where trustees are the day-to-day workers, large charity where trustees rarely meet the employees, regardless of experience of trustees, from the trustee who set up the charity many years ago to the seemingly ubiquitous "I donated stacks of cash to this charity and I am a hedge fund manager, banker, business owner," there are two clear issues that any merger team must, amongst other things, be clear about up front. First, what role has the board of X charity played so far in its development? Secondly, what attitude has the board of X charity portrayed in so far as leading the charity forward thus far? Because unless these are clear, up front, both within X charity itself and understood by the merging organisation about itself and the other, chaos, delay, uncertainty, and even, sadly, failed merger will ensue. Why is the previous role important? Well, how has the role hitherto included working with staff? Charity X board may or may not have developed a close working relationship with the management or administrative team of Charity X before the merger process. Certainly they will need to do so now in the feasibility process. Add to this Charity Y, who may also be trying to forge a similar first time ever working relationship in whether deciding whether to merge, and you have at least four groups who've never worked together before trying to do so. Add into this the new merger steering group, once things get going, and you add yet another group of folk into the mix, representatives from the trustee board of X and Y, plus key staff from the exec teams of X and Y, while still trying to report back to the boards of X and Y, with all of the cultural and managerial and operational differences in language and approach that such mergers bring. So an understanding of what role each has played hitherto is helpful in trying to decide the roles going forward, and putting into place systems and support mechanisms to make sure that all the different groups work effectively together and understand what their role is going forward. Why are previous attitudes important? In particular, I'm talking about attitude to change. For many trustees, their approach to change has been something tested or not in their day jobs. And even if they've gone through tremendous change in their working lives, they may or may not have been ultimately the ones responsible for delivering on that change. This may have affected the attitude that the trustee board as a whole has shown previously in terms of change for the charity for which they are ultimately responsible. Have they been change averse? Have they been change aware? And for many, regardless of experience in their own working lives, that may not translate into attitude to change as they merge their charity with another. I think we've all come across the "in my commercial role I have been merged with, lost my job, managed a merger numerous times, and this merger for this charity is no different." Sadly, at the moment, that attitude prevails all too often. No merger is ever the same as another, so attitude to change needs to show an element of humility as well as adaptability to the requirements of this particular change. There are, of course, many other issues which affect trustees and their role and attitude during a merger, and many trustees we have worked with have shown exemplary approaches to both their role and their attitude. Indeed, the fact that trustees appoint interim, independent chairs of merger steering groups to ensure that the merger, not just the interests of their charities, stay at the forefront of the process, regardless of past experience, is to be commended. So trustees need to be clear, up front, about the role they have played hitherto, the attitudes they have shown towards change hitherto. That way they can inquire similarly about the other trustee boards in the merger. Once the differences or similarities are ironed out, the merger process proper can begin. After all, the courtship that includes a full and frank assessment of oneself, as well as the other, does tend to lead to better outcomes for all, even if it is no thanks. Better know that sooner rather than later.